And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Being beamed around the world on shortwave radio, on our internet website, powerofprophecy.com, and American Voice Radio Network. Well, got a hot topic today. It's really hot. It's burning hot. Oh, I love controversies. I love them so much. Every once in a while, just for fun, pure D old fun. That's what we used to call it when I was a little boy down in East Texas. Pure D old fun. I don't know if that's a good thing to say or not. Probably not. It probably has some bad meaning to it. But in any case, we didn't know. We just took it for what it said. We had some pure D old fun. Now, we're going to have some today because a lot of things have been going on in society that, well, I just think we need some more knowledge out there. You know, the Bible says that even God's people perish without knowledge. I love knowledge going forth. But sometimes knowledge just knocks people over. They just bowl over when they hear things. They get so mad and angry. I think I mentioned to you, man, at conspiracy convention where I spoke in San Jose, California, several months back, came up to me just furious. He was like a hornet. I think guy wanted to kill me. If he could, he would have strangled me. And because of my talk, I didn't get upset at the guy. I never get angry at anybody. And he was just angry at me. He was saying, well, what you said is not true, and I don't agree with you, and you're an evil person, and God's going to punish you. And I just listened to him a little bit, and I said, well, tell me, sir, you've come here to this conspiracy convention. There's all kind of beliefs here. I mean, we got witches here, and we got shaman, and we got people believing UFO aliens that are going to come down and save the planet. And I mean, all kinds of belief systems. I'm one of the few Christians that was invited to this conference. And those are my views, and I'm going to stick by them. But you don't like what I have to say. Which of the views, which of the things that were said here did you like? What did you come here for? What do you think about conspiracies? Because obviously you're a conspiracy buff or you wouldn't be here. He says, me? What do I think? I said, yes, sir. I'd like to know what you think. What your opinion is of conspiracies. He said, well, I can tell you exactly about conspiracies. I said, well, okay, do that. He says, well, you see, I'm Jewish. I said, yes, okay. He said, now the Jews were seeded on this planet by aliens from outer space. And I said, oh, that's why we're superior to every other race. We were seeded by these high technology aliens from outer space that were millions of years advanced. And that's why you Gentiles are, you know. I said, well, where did they seed you? Was that in the Middle East? Was that in Israel? No, it was an island in the Pacific. But we made our way by boat. We were the first to create ships, and we made our way to Israel. Ah, yes, okay. Let's see now. You know, UFO aliens came from outer space, seeded you on some island in the Pacific. And you're the superior race, millions of years advanced. and you're going to criticize me, I'm thinking. But I didn't say it. You know, I just was nice to the man. And he went away mad. And, you know, a little bit later on, I saw a newspaper man interviewing him. The newspaper guy was so, I mean, he wanted so much to bash Tex Mars and what he said, that he was getting this guy's opinion. What do you think about what Tex Mars said? Oh, he's a mean man, that Tex Mars. He's a horrible person. And that went in, I understand, it's a little local newspaper in San Jose, and on the .com, there printed that, what the man had said about me. Well, these are strange times, are they not? They're pretty crazy. They're pretty insane. We have an insane world. And you know, the Bible says, and it's very interesting, that in the last days, the nations will have been driven insane. because of their passions, because of their lust, because of the evil that they wreak in the earth, they will actually go insane. People are driven mad. Every night you turn on TV, I practically only watch news programs. And Wanda says, Tex, I can't bear anymore. Mothers killing their children. Fathers killing their wives and their children too. Bankers stealing money from everybody. Ponzi schemes operating left and right. Wars, deaths, horrors galore. Children killing their parents. Just yesterday, some teen was bullied or something, some little kid, and he went and jumped off the George Washington Bridge. Another college student at Rutgers was gay, and his roommate surreptitiously, you know, secretly planted a video cam in the room, his dormitory room at the college, and caught him while he was having sex with another boy. And then he put that out to everybody so they could all watch it at the same time. On their personal computers. Watch this boy having sex with another boy, and he didn't know they were watching him. Was he the one that jumped? Oh, he was the one that jumped. It wasn't the boy that was bullied. Okay, well, everything's happening so fast, so crazy. You know, when I was a kid, parents didn't do those things to their kids. I never read about this till I was about 40 years old in newspapers. I never heard of a mother killing her children. Commonplace today. Evil, on drugs, meth, heroin. Hey, enough of that though. Even Wanda said, I'm sick of that. Let's let's watch something light. Let's see some, you know, my son and his wife in California, I asked them what they watched on TV. They said, you know, we like that cable network called TV Land. They have the old shows. I Love Lucy and all those. As they said, that's what we watch. I Love Lucy and those shows. Well, I can understand why. It has, you know, Andy Griffith and Opie and, you know, Mayberry RFD, all those shows. Well, good for them. Good for them. Nary a curse word was heard back in those days on TV. And one of the main characters was not a gay man or woman, too. So good for that. Well, sort of a crazy thing, according to The World, happened recently when a pastor from down in Florida called for an international Burn the Quran Day. He said on September 11th, just like the 19, you know, Arabs, the Muslims, hijacked those planes and killed so many, 3,000 people or so at the World Trade Center and then at the Pentagon and then in Pennsylvania when the plane supposedly dashed into the field there, killing all aboard. He says, in retaliation, we're going to burn the Quran. He said the Quran is an evil book. It's a book of the devil. The Bible of the Muslims is an evil book. Pastor Terry Jones down in Gainesville, Florida. And then he had a pretty small church, but that doesn't matter. I think most large churches are very wicked. So I'm not going to knock a guy for having a small church. God bless him. You know, Lot preached all the time to the people. Sodom and Gomorrah preached all the time. Didn't have any converts. If he started a church, Lot couldn't get half a dozen people to come. But he was a righteous man. The rest of them perished because they wouldn't repent. Oh, let's not knock small churches. The press tried to say, this guy, he's pastor of a little bitty church. It only has about 50 members or something. He's a nobody. Really? Jesus only had 12 and he said one of them was a devil. But he was somebody. But let's not talk about Pastor Terry Jones too much. I'd like to talk about his project, his proposed project. Now, he backed down. He had tremendous pressure, did he not? The whole world came up against the guy. Christians didn't seem to support him either. I mean, I didn't see Franklin Graham stepping up and saying, I'll be there to burn a Quran. Pat Robertson, he didn't volunteer. Rick Warren, he was nowhere to be found. Seemed like Christians didn't want to go along with Pastor Terry Jones. You would have thought if they really believed the Quran was a dastardly evil book, they might have went and burnt one. You know? For every Quran that's burnt, that means so many people won't be reading it. I guess they could print more, but it's just a symbolic act. Now, a lot of people phoned our ministry or called me or emailed me. What do you think, Tex? You think we should burn the Quran? Well, if you want to do it, if God calls you to burn the Quran, go ahead and burn it. You know, you may get killed because those Muslims get pretty angry when you burn their Quran. But after all, Muslims have burnt the Bible, the New Testament. There are a number of examples of them burning it. In fact, when this story broke on the press about Pastor Terry Jones wanting to burn the Quran and have an international Burn the Quran Day, evidently over in Afghanistan, they showed on TV a bunch of crazed Muslims started burning our Christian Bible. Had a big bonfire. Now, did I get mad about that? Nah. You say, why not, Tex? Hey, you cannot burn the Word of God. Did you hear what I just said? You can try to burn the Word of God. You can try to destroy it. The Catholic Church tried to keep it hidden for centuries. They told people, don't read the Bible. Your priest will tell you what's what. And every one of you who read a Bible, we're going to burn you at the stake. And did you know many, many people died simply because they wanted to read the Word of God? I cry for those people. The Catholic Church couldn't keep it hidden. Didn't work out for them. The Reformation came along and Martin Luther put out a translation of the Bible and later King James, and man, ignited the world with salvation. Millions came to God. Why? Because they learned of the gospel by reading his word. You cannot destroy it. Hey, Muslim, I invite you, waste your money. Go buy Bibles at bookstores everywhere, all over the world. Buy them. Buy them by the cases. Take them out and burn them. It'll just help the Bible publishers make money. You're helping Christians. We'll print more. We'll print more. We'll print more. Burn them, burn them, burn them. Sad that you want to do that, but you want to burn the Word of God? You go ahead. You can't destroy it. It's indestructible. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. They tried to kill our Lord Jesus. The Jews did. And he just came right up out of the ground. In fact, he wasn't even in the ground. Went down to hell for 3 days. Told the devil what's what in victory. But before that, Jesus told God in heaven, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You can't kill Jesus. You can't kill God. You can't harm his word. Not even a little bitty bit. New versions try to take out entire passages. It's still going to get out. The truth's going to get out. The word, the whole counsel of God will get out. And the book of Revelation says that if you attempt to take out even one small jit or anything out of that Bible, then God will blot your name out from the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Friends, don't try to change. Don't try to take things out of the Bible. Just leave it alone. And let the blind follow the blind, and both of them will fall into the ditch. Now, let's get back to the burning of the Quran. Would I burn the Quran? Nah, I don't want to waste my time on it. The Bible's so far superior. The Bible is so majestic. I'm not going to run around, waste my time burning Qurans. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I want to read to you from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 19 through 20. It's a pretty interesting passage. If you want to criticize Pastor Terry Jones, you're not going to have me on your side. If you say, what a horrible person, burning books, you're like Hitler, you're trying to censor books, you're banning books, you can't burn any book, it's a holy book of the Muslims, you're insulting the Muslims. How dare you, Pastor Jones? I'm not going to be joining you in that complaint. I don't want to take my time. I have other more constructive things to do. But I want to tell you right now, if Jesus Christ put on my heart to burn a Quran, I'm telling you, I'd be the first man. I've got one right here in my library. I've studied the Quran for years. I've read it cover to cover. If Jesus said burn it, I'd take it right out and burn it. I'd have fun with it. I'd probably get me some marshmallows and I'd just have a marshmallow fire burn. What do they call those? Was it Sandra? Sandra, by the way, is she's over here at the broadcast place. She runs all these little knobs and things, makes sure that what I say, you know, gets on the radio and everything. She's our broadcast engineer today, Sandra Myers. She usually works on the newsletter. She puts out that beautiful newsletter. What do you think? Think what to burn the Quran, Sandra? Hey, did you hear that? Sandra says, if that's what the Lord tells you to do, calling you to do, then do it. Would you do it? What if he said, take 100 and burn them? Well, Sandra says she guesses you'd better do it. And I expected her to say, yeah, I know Sandra. Not fully, not as much as her husband or her mother, but I know her. I know she's a Christian. I know she loves the Lord. She'll do whatever he says. Good for her. Okay, now, but what did they do back in the early days of Christians, of the Christian church? I want to read to you from the book of Acts. This is really something. Listen to this. This tells the story of how the church grew and prospered and thrived. Now listen to it. Listen very carefully. It says, many of them also, which used curious arts, that means witchcraft, occultism, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Can we stop right there? Many who were into pagan religion, and boy, they had the pagan religions, the Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, all of those people worshiped the gods and the goddesses, and they had all kinds of, you know, Mithraism was another religion that was big back then. In Mithraism, they even gave you a mark on the forehead. Interesting. Many of the Roman soldiers became followers of the sun god Mithra. But in any case, they were into witchcraft, occultism, all kinds, astrology, divination, all kinds of occult arts. The Bible calls them the curious arts. And many of these people who had practiced these things became Christian through the preaching of Paul and the others. They became Christians. Now, what did they do with all the books that they had that taught them how to say chants and how to do magical formulas and do their rituals and all that? They said, we don't want these books anymore. These are demonic books. They took them out and burned them all. Now, this books back then were very expensive. You know, they just didn't have printing presses that cranked out thousands and thousands of books an hour. Each book had to be written, you know, on paper. And, you know, they didn't have paper processing plants back then. So it was a very precious thing to own a book. You know, that each one was written personally by hand, by scribes. Very expensive. And the price of them altogether was about 50,000 pieces of silver. I don't know how much that was, but let me tell you something. That was a fortune. And they took all these books and they put them in a big bonfire, the Christians did, that had left these pagan curious arts, and they burnt them. Now, the next sentence is the most important of all. The very next sentence, after it says, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver, will shake you up if you have never read them. It says, so mightily grew the words of God and prevailed. It seems that in doing this, evidently in obedience to Christ Jesus, they were called to burn their witchcraft books, their occultic books, their magic, curious arts books. And they did it, and the church mightily grew. The words of God. You see, the words of God are more powerful than those people didn't want those books. Get it out of my house. And the word of God grew, and the church prevailed. Started with 11. Judas betrayed Christ. Only had 11. They were beaten, by the Sanhedrin told, quit preaching this Jesus? Peter said, I can't. I must do the works of God. They were warned, and they were all killed eventually for their faith. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. We've got copies of it on very inexpensive paper. And you'll never burn it if you buy it. But it'll tell you about Christians that died for their faith, that were burned at the stake for their faith, for the sin, for the crime of having simply read the Bible for themselves. So mightily grew the words of God and prevailed. I've authored a number of books, but all of them together aren't worth one page of the Bible. Now, I guess I have to ask the question then. Was Terry Jones wrong? I don't think so. If he was really led by God, he knows in his heart what he was led to do, if he was good. I'm not speaking for God, I'm speaking for Texas Mars. For me, I don't want to mess with it. Am I afraid of the Muslims? No. Will they kill you? They might. But you only have one earth life to live, and it's puny. I got a whole eternity to live in heaven. Might be a relief for me to go early. They're not going to get anything by killing me. I feel sorry for them. I don't want to see them in prison or something for my murder. I'd like Muslims to lead a joyous life as a Christian. Don't kill Texas Martyrs. Don't waste your time on me. I'll be in heaven. So, don't waste your time on me. But if you're led by the devil to do it, well, I hope you don't follow him, but go ahead if you have to. I got a lot of Muslims mad at me when I did my radio program. In fact, we're going to offer it in a few minutes, the CD or audio tape about the crescent moon and the star, about the Muslim religion. Is it really of God? Is Allah God? Is Muhammad his prophet? What about Islam as a religion? A lot of Muslims got mad at me for putting that out, but I did it anyway. I felt led by God to tell people the truth about Islam. I want to tell you the truth about Islam. Friends, it's simple. It's very simple. There's only one God. There's only one God, and he's the great I Am. And his son came here, and he's one with God. They are one. And his name is Jesus. And that's sort of the end of things. And we have a Bible, and it's not called the Quran. It's called the Holy Bible. It has Old and New Testament. The Jews don't really believe much in the Old Testament. They've got their own Bible called the Talmud. I'm going to tell you about the Talmud in a minute. Because let me make a statement to you. If I was going to burn a devil book, it would not be the Quran. If I wanted to get the worst book in the world, the most heinous, most filthy, despicable, horrible, religious, holy book in the world, it would not even be the Satanic Bible. I have a copy of the Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey. Did you know that to this very day, that Satanic Bible that was written in the 60s by the high priest of Satan, the Church of Satan, Anton Zander LaVey, who, by the way, was Jewish, he's gone on to be with his father in the next world. He's got his just reward, by the way. You say, the father? Yes, his father. Jesus told the Jews, Matthew 23, ye are of your father the devil, and his works you will do. Jesus said the devil was a liar from the beginning and the father of it, and he was a murderer. Anton LaVey was Jew. He falls in that category. But the Talmud wasn't his Bible. He wrote his own Bible. I guess his father gave it to him, the Satanic Bible. Has an interesting chapter in there, sort of sickening, in Anton LaVey's Bible. It tells you how to find an appropriate human sacrifice. It's better if you get a young child, you see. An innocent child. This girl should be a virgin, maybe under 10. Murder her in a ritual for the devil. Those things are hideous. The Church of Satan. I think the Church of Satan is one of the groups that I expose Sandra in my book, New Age Cults and Religions. I believe it is. The Church of Satan, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Church of Wicca also is mentioned in the, as well as the Mayan order, Scientology, all, Buddhism, all those things are, yeah, there are Mormonism, all those are in my book, New Age Cults and Religions. In a minute, I'll tell folks how to get that book as well. Would I take LaVey's book out? The Satanic Bible? Don't you know that's scarred and warped millions of lives? It is number one bestseller on the occult bestseller list. I went on Amazon.com and checked it out. I was shocked. Anton LaVey, a book written half a century ago, is still the number one bestseller of all occult books. You say, well, they probably don't sell very good. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Occult books outsell just about every category. They have for years. There's hundreds and hundreds of New Age and occult bookstores all over America. Maybe you've just driven by them. They're in every city. It's a thriving little industry you may not know much about, but I do. I've studied it. I'm not going to waste my time burning the Satanic Bible, but it would only be right if I did. Anton LaVey's daughter, a very lovely, beautiful girl, by the way, and I feel so sad for her, being raised by a monster like him. She has a warped mind, too. I think her name is Zena. She wrote her own book. It's a Bible, too. But it's for witches. It's called The Satanic Witch. Now, should we take The Satanic Witch by Zena LaVey or The Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey, the high priest of the Church of Satan, and go out and burn them? I don't have any objection to that. Maybe if we did a few things like that and showed the world that we were serious, it might just be that we also would prevail over the world like the early church did. As recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 19. You're not going to find any problem with Tex Mars about burning evil books. However, it wouldn't be Anton LaVey's Bible. It wouldn't be Zena's, the Satanic Witch. It would not be the Hindus' Bhagavad Gita, although I can tell you that is one strange, weird book. Whew, that's one mixed up book. I'm not interested in burning it, though. But there is one book I would consider burning. There's one Bible I'm not led to right now, but I'll tell you, no, just my human flesh, I would like to. Because it's the most evil, despicable, horrible, abhorrent book of all. It's called the Talmud. The Jewish Talmud. Don't even think those other books are as bad as this book is. It's the Jews' most holy book, and in it, the rabbis teach from it, and it says clearly that this is more important and should be studied in preference to the Old Testament. It's the number one book for Jews, as is our New Testament for Christians. As is the Quran for Islam. And when we return, I'm going to tell you why I would very seriously consider burning, leading even an international movement, maybe an international day to burn the Talmud. Are you ready for that, folks? Would you come to Austin, Texas? We have a big bonfire on the state capitol steps. We'll burn the Talmud. Burn the Talmud. It's a devil book. But am I telling the truth about it? The Jews say it's their holy book. It's sacred. It's blessed by their God. Well, we'll find out more when we return. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is Tex Mars. Hey, stay with us. We're having so much fun, and we'll be right back. Tex Mars back again. You know, in my book, New Age Cults and Religions, I expose over 100 major New Age cults and religions, including, of course, Buddhism, Mormonism, Scientology, the Mayan Order, the Church of Satan, the Church of Wicca, and so many more. Jehovah's Witnesses, another one that I expose. A lot of people say, Tex, why did you offer this book? Why did you write this book? Well, so many people get entrapped in cults, and some of them think they're actually Christian. You know, several years ago, there was a very popular cult group called the Church Universal and Triumphant. And there was a cable TV program that a woman preacher, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, she was all over the United States into this TV program. Somebody told me about it. They said, she's a great preacher, Tex. Well, you know, I'm not into women preachers, but okay, well, I'll see what old Elizabeth there is doing. So I saw on the TV schedule that the Church Universal and Triumphant, this person said she's a Christian too. But she thinks a little different than you, Tex. I went, oh, okay. So I saw her on the schedule there, you know, her program, the Church Universal and Triumphant. So I thought I'd just plug right on in and just listen to what she had to say on my TV. Boy, did I ever get an earful. Woo. I was almost unable to eat lunch that day after hearing that morning, her sermon. She was a very effective teacher, and I noticed she had an altar behind her. She was speaking in a big church, probably had about 1,500 people attending. I think it was up in Montana. Elizabeth Clare Prophet, pastor. I thought the altar looked a little strange, because on one side it had a statue of Buddha. That sort of gives you a clue. On the other side was, yeah, a little, you know, picture of Jesus. A picture of, you know, what people think Jesus looks like. Then on the wall there was some other guy, and I started recognizing him from all my New Age research. It was Count Saint Germain. An ascended master in spirit that you can communicate with. The New Agers think they communicate with. Yeah, old Count Saint Germain was there. And she began to quote and chant. And she led all the people there on chanting. Oh, Count Saint Germain. Oh, yes, ascended master. Bless us this day. And, you know. And to use an old Texas word, you know, back in the farm fields, you know, I didn't cotton to that very much. No, that didn't quite please Tex Mars. Well, but I'm glad I listened to her. Then I began to do some research. If that many people were into this Church Universal Triumphant that sounded like a Christian group, I wanted to know more about it. And I found out all about it, and I wrote about it in my book, New Age Cults and Religions. Then there was a group also right here in Austin. You'll never even, I mean, you'll be surprised what's in your hometown too, what people are doing. There was a New Age bookstore here. And they said they had a Bible study group that met in the back room there, the big study room. And once a week, they had a study group, had a Bible study group. And I got invited to that. I guess I got a lot of strange friends, you know. And they said, we don't use the Bible now. We use the Book of Urantia. Oh, really? The Book of Urantia. Now, I never went to their Bible study, but I did buy a copy of the Book of Urantia. And even to this day, it's a book I'd sort of like to burn. But the Book of Urantia is this thing has about 2,000 pages. It's about these, I don't even want to talk. I did get one passage I thought was quite interesting. Did you know that the lords of space are beckoning to us from the mansion planet, the mansion world of Satania? Say what? Satania, S-A-T-A-N-I-A. There's evidently, these Urantians think there's a planet out there called Satania. Well, you know, I sort of think that's true. There is a place called Satania. It's also known as hell, but that's another story. That's found in the Bible. That's a true book. This was a bunch of nonsense. But it was very intellectual. I noticed, when I went into the bookstore, everybody there seemed very uppity. They were very ritzy. They were very intellectual. I looked outside, all the cars, they were Lexi. You know, I call it Lexi. That means that's multiple or plural for Lexuses. Lexi, sort of word I coined myself. But in any kind, I like to coin words and things. But there, right there, was all these nice cars. You know, they were driving Mercedes and Lexus and every once in a while an Oldsmobile or something. That must have been one of the poor Urantians. Their gods had not blessed them properly yet. You know? Isn't it funny how the rich of this world can be led into such deceit? Even the Bible says that the noblemen of this world are exactly the ones, and I'm paraphrasing, that refuse to believe in Jesus. Their riches somehow lead them astray, don't they? Because the Bible does say, Paul wrote the letter to Timothy in which he said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. But let's get back to the Urantia. I decided to study that. And I got a copy of their Bible. I mean, if I'm going to study a religion, I should at least know of its Bible. And I read the thing. It was so boring. I mean, it put me to sleep. But I went in there and I asked the guy, the owner of the store. He was a Urantian. And I said, what do you think of your Bible? Oh, it's so exciting. It's so thrilling. Just to read it. Boy. Well, I found out it was the Book of Urantia was given by a UFO spirit guides to some medical doctor. I think it was in Chicago. And he, you know, wrote the book through automatic writing, sort of witchcraft writing. Okay, you know, it all comes out in the wash. And so, you know, I told all about it and what their teachings are and all that. The Book of Urantia. By the way, they believe in Jesus. Jesus is one of the many spirits that can come to people. And I suspect if you get real deep into Urantia and pray and meditate, Jesus will come to you. Of course, you know, the Bible says there are strange beings out there who masquerade as Jesus. And even Jesus said, if they say that I'm here or I'm there, don't believe them. See, Jesus lives in the hearts of Christians. Well, in any case, this book covers over 100 major New Age cults and religions, some strange, some just evil, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, that believe in Jesus. Yes, they do believe in Jesus. Of course, once you move into the Jehovah's Witnesses, you become one, they'll tell you who their Jesus really is. It's Michael the Archangel. He has two names. One of them is Jesus, and the other is Michael. So you're not supposed to worship Michael, the angel. He's not the one you should worship. The one you should worship is just Jehovah. That's why they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe in Jesus at all. They're basically artificial Jews. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses are. It's a Jewish cult. Anyway, who would want to join a church and all of their Kingdom Hall buildings have no windows? A little creepy, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that? Drive by a Kingdom Hall where the Jehovah's Witnesses have church services, they call it. And guess what? You won't find any windows. I wonder what they're doing in there. Well, you know, there are people who have been Jehovah's Witnesses and have left and come to know Jesus, and they'll tell you what they were doing in there. Anyway, we won't cover that. But I do talk about Jehovah's Witnesses in my book, New Age Cults and Religions. Now, listen, it's in hardcover. We only have the hardcover ready for you now. We're going to get some more paperbacks printed, but the hardcover is only $20. It's 350 pages. It's a hardcover, nice book for your library called New Age Cults and Religions. In fact, Tex Mar's book of New Age Cults and Religions. Never a book like it. It's been out for quite a few years, but it's still current in many, many respects. And by the way, you also find Hare Krishna, all these strange things. Okay, in the book. Now, here's how to get your copy of New Age Cults and Religions. It's $20. Add $5 shipping and handling. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go on powerofprophecy.com and click on the books or the bookstore there, or we have a little search engine there. Type in New Age Cults and Religions, and it will take you right to the ad, and it'll describe the book, show you a picture of the cover. Order there, $25 again. That will include postage or shipping and handling, okay? $25 for this book. A New Age Cults and Religion in hardcover. That's the only edition we have. Now, I mentioned also that we have available my 60-minute investigative research tape, either an audio tape or CD, specify which one you want, for just $8. It's entitled It's all about Islam. It exposes Islam. If you're a Muslim, I want you to, if you will write to me and say, I'm a Muslim, I will send it to you just for the shipping. If you will write to me and say, I am a Muslim and I don't believe what you're saying, Tex, you must be a liar. I want to hear what you have to say. I will send it to you free. You won't have to pay the $8. I know that's not fair to Christians and others, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. And we're going to see if we can't let Muslims know the truth. I didn't say this in hatred. I didn't do 60 minutes, you know, just blasting and using bad names against Muslims. I love Muslim people, and I would like for them to know the truth, especially about their symbols. They say they hate idolatry, but they have these idolatrous symbols. I want them to know about it and more. Who really founded Islam? Was it Muhammad? What kind of person was Muhammad? What kind of life did he lead? What is really the Quran like? Is the Quran an evil book? Does it lead people to do good works? You'll want to get the book, the audio tape or CD. $8. Now, if you're not a Muslim, please, I need $8 for the ministry. We don't make any money off the ministry anyway, selling things, but we need to keep going. It's $8 and add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $13. But if you're a Muslim, I'll give it to you free, but please do pay the shipping and handling so we can cover our cost. All right. The name of it is, now write this down, dear folks, The Crescent Moon. The Crescent Moon. The star and the black stone. You know, all of the mosques, let's call them churches, if you will, of Islam, they have a symbol on many of them displayed. In all of their books and literature, there's a symbol, two symbols, in fact. There's a crescent moon and a star right by it or within it. Not on the moon, but it's a little separated. And, you know, every Muslim I meet, and I've written, many of them have written me. They try to convert Tex Mars. Oh, they try so hard. They write me letters. And I want to tell you right now, the Muslims I get letters from, I love it. They're kind people. I mean, the ones that write me, they're usually good folks. They write to me and they want to convert me and they tell me I'm all wet about Jesus and all that. But in any case, I like them to write me. I write them back. I do. I answer my mail as much as I can. And I especially like to answer Muslims. And I like to tell them why I believe in Jesus Christ and the Bible. And then I want them to have this audio tape or CD, specifying which one you want, called The Crescent Moon, The Star, and The Black Stone. It's based on many, many years of hard research by me. So I didn't just, you know, get some other little flimsy little book from a Christian bookstore, some guy that doesn't know what he's talking about. You'll see, I know what I'm talking about. I do. This is my ministry, and I've spent a quarter of a century studying false religions, going all the way back to Babylon. So this is important. If you really want to know about Islam, order for $8 plus $5 shipping and handling, The Crescent Moon, The Star, and The Black Stone. Those are three vital symbols. Now, every Muslim will know what you're talking about if you were to ask him, tell me a little bit, sir, about the crescent moon, the star, and the black stone. Well, they won't be able to answer you. They'll be able to say, well, the crescent moon and the star are symbols. I don't know what they mean. I have never yet. In fact, one of the Muslims wrote me and he said, Tex, until I heard you on the radio, I didn't know what the crescent moon and the star was. I went to my imam. And I ask him, what does this symbol mean? It's right here on the wall. We have a big tapestry, he said. We have the crescent moon and the star displayed on the wall of our mosque inside. And I asked the imam, tell me what it means. He said, I don't know. We've just always had it. Oh, yeah. Well, now the man knows. Yes, he does. The crescent moon, the star, and the black stone of Islam. And I want you to have that for $8 plus $5. Either New Age Cults and Religions, total for that book, hardcover, $25, including shipping and postage and handling. And The Crescent Moon, The Star, and The Black Stone. Okay? If you forget the name of that, just call it The Moon, The Star, and The Stone. The Moon, The Star, and The Stone. I think our smart folks here working as receptionists will help you. And remember now, I mentioned last week to you, this is Employee Appreciation Month. If you can afford a gift to give to our employee appreciation fund, please do so. And make sure it's designated. Yes, we need your love gifts and offerings for the ministry. But this is a special month. We appreciate our employees, our staff here. We're having Employee Appreciation Month. And if you've got a little bit extra, $5, $10, whatever you can give to our Employee Appreciation Fund, we're going to keep it out separate, and we're going to make sure the employees get every cent of it. And they deserve it. We don't have retirement. They don't have company cars. They don't have company tele. They don't have expense accounts. They don't have all that. They just work very, very hard. They love you. They do. They love our clients. I call them clients. You're not a client. You're a family. Member of our family. And they appreciate you. They do. And when you call, you know, you get the attitude of people, whether they're just doing the job with this drudgery and they have to do it. You know, there's some, thank God it's Friday type of atmosphere. I just can't stand that. But these folks here are Christians, and they really desire to help you. That's why we work so hard to get our books out fast as we can, our videos and audio tapes, because we know you're waiting for them, and you deserve to have them. We're a service ministry. We serve God. We serve you. We serve our country. Those are the sort of the three things, you know, categories in order there. We have to have priorities down. Okay. But Employee Appreciation Month, if you can afford it, don't take it out of your Social Security check and you can't eat this month, pay your bills. Don't do that, please. But if you can do this, this is the first time all these years we've ever had Employee Appreciation Month. But I know you do appreciate them. I know you do love our employees. And by the way, if you call 1-800-234-9673, our toll-free line, and you're able to give a love gift, now you don't have to. We're going to love you just as much. But if you can, you know, put in a little extra, you probably put a real smile on the face of the employee whom you talk with. I know you will. Okay, let's return now to our regular program. Should Christians burn the Jewish Talmud? That's what we're talking about today. I've said it's an evil book, but I want to prove it. By the way, I'm working on a incredible new book. Man, I'm just wilted every day when I finish working on this book. It's going to be out, I'm hoping December the 1st. I'm hoping December the 1st. Might be January the 1st. So don't hold me to it, folks. But it's entitled, so far, unless I change the title, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. But it's more than about the Six-Pointed Star. Oh, my. A lot of it is about the Talmud. Now, Herman Wouk, you know, the famous author, W-O-U-K, remember he wrote the book that was made into a movie and a TV series called The Winds of War? He said the Talmud is the circulating heart's blood of the Jewish religion. Whatever laws, customs, or ceremonies we observe, we follow the Talmud. It is our common law. He was naturally Jewish. Now I want to tell you why I see the Talmud as the most wicked book ever printed. Now, I've read the Quran. I've read all the Bhagavad Gita. I've read the Satanic Bible. But this is the ultimate in evil. I don't like saying that. It's no fun. But it has to be said. Listen to what it says about Mary. Sanhedrin, I'm going to give you the actual place. You know, like Matthew, Timothy, Revelation, the book of Daniel, you know, the book of Amos, Genesis. Well, they have books, too, in the Talmud. In fact, they're, according to the, rather, you know, it's really according to the edition, because each edition is a little different. But they're generally around 63 volumes. 63 volumes. Huge. You have to have a library to put it in, of the Talmud. And rabbis count it as their number one most holy book, and they study it their whole lives. They rarely even look at the Old Testament. It's the Talmud. The Talmudic sages. That's what the Jews call themselves when they study the Talmud. Recently, there was an article in the New York Times where a Jewish writer said, you know, it's been an open secret, but we need to start telling people the truth. At Jewish seminaries where they train the rabbis, and at the yeshivas, those are religious academies for students in Israel, they don't study the Bible, the Old Testament, or the Torah. They study exclusively, get this, the Talmud. Now, here's what it says about Mary, the mother of Jesus in the Talmud. In Sanhedrin 106a, that's the passage, or the page in the Sanhedrin. 106a, Sanhedrin. She, who was the descendant of princes and governors, played the harlot with a carpenter. She was a whore. She was a harlot. How about what it says about Jesus in the Talmud? Oh, this is so bad. I don't know if I can say it over air. Jesus fornicated with his jackass. Sanhedrin 105 A and B. As punishment for his blasphemy, Sanhedrin 52b says, Jesus was lowered into a pit of dung up to his armpits until he was dead. But after he was dead, it wasn't enough punishment, they said. In Gittin, the book of Gittin 57a, in the Jewish Talmud, their most holy book, it says, quote, Jewish priest raised Jesus from the dead and punished him in hell by boiling him in hot semen. In another verse and chapter in the Talmud, it says that Jesus is to this day, for his blasphemy and apostasy against Judaism, he is now in hell burning in hot excrement. Christian friend, that's what the Talmud and the Jews, the rabbis, are saying about your Savior. How does it make you feel? What do they say about Gentiles? Business dealings with Gentiles. In Baba Kama 113b and 114a, it says, for Jews, it is permissible to deceive and cheat a Gentile. What about the property of Gentiles? Well, it says in Choshan Ham 156 and Haggas 183, Gentiles should own no property, and it is right for a Jew to seize their property. It says in Choshan Ham 156 and Haggas 183, if a Jew is doing business with a certain Gentile, and a fellow Jew comes along and defrauds the Gentile, either by false measure, weight, or number, the two Gentiles must share the profit. Here's another one, hatred of Gentiles. It says in the Ara Dea 148 and Haggah 12, if you enter a town and find them celebrating a feast, you may pretend to rejoice with them to hide your hatred of the Gentiles. In Becca 136, it says the Gentiles are of a vile and vicious character. Do not trust a Gentile as a witness in court. In Ham 425, it says, if you see a Gentile fall into a well in which there is a ladder, take it away from him and say to him, I have to go and take my son down from a roof. I'll bring the ladder back to you at once, but instead let him die. In Choshan Ham 425, it says, if you see a Gentile fall into the sea, do not pull him out unless he promises you money. Otherwise, let him drown. And then in the Talmud, it says, the best of the Gentiles, kill. The best of the Gentiles, kill. Is it a holy book? Well, what does it say about children? Sanhedrin 54a and 55a, 54b and 55a. Sodomy and sexual relations with a boy under 9 years of age is permissible. Sodomy and sexual relations with a boy under 9 years is permissible. Sanhedrin 54b and 55a. Sexual relations with a girl under 3 years of age is permitted. Sanhedrin 78a. Sexual relations, that is unnatural connections, with a dead animal or with a dead person is permitted. This is a book of real wisdom, by the way. It has methods in there. If you're confronted with demon spirits, to frighten away demon spirits, rattle a nut inside a brass dish. It scares them away. That's the wisdom of the sages, of the Jews. No wonder Jesus said in Mark chapter 7 that the Jews teach for doctrines the traditions of men, and that they thereby make the word of God of none effect through their tradition. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye, the Jews, therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Here's something else. I'm going to read them to you real fast. Another passage in the Talmud. May Jesus rot in hell. That's what it says. That's what it says. It goes on and on. The wisdom of the Talmud. Let me go. I got about 200 of them here. Got a list of all of them. The Bible says in the Old Testament, honor thy father and mother. But in Sanhedrin 65a, it says, one who curses his mother is not punished. One who curses his mother is not punished. You know, it tells in the Bible, don't blaspheme or don't use the name of God in vain. But in Sanhedrin, it says, if one reviles the divine name of God, as long as you mentally employ it to denote some other object, you will not be punished. Huh? Huh? How about sorcery? The Christian Bible says no sorcery. But in Sanhedrin 6:7b, it says the laws of sorcerers may be fulfilled. Although some actions are punished, others are entirely permitted. But by the way, it also says, now I could go on and on. Jesus fornicating with a jackass, his mother a whore. He's burning in hell in hot excrement or hot semen. Here's one. All Israel shall have a portion in the world to come, but Gentiles will enter into hell. Hey, here's my father and mother again. He who smites his father or mother after their death is not liable. Wait till they're dead and then go up and smack them one, and that's okay. What about Jesus? He is in hell, and that would only make sense because in Sanhedrin 105a, they say that wicked man Jesus will not enter the future world. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the things. I'm running out of time. It's evil. It's an evil book. I can't find any of these things in the Quran. They say in the Quran that Jesus is a prophet. He was a man of God. I know they deny that he's God, but they say he was a great prophet. They say his mother was a wonderful saint, pure. They say Jesus was born a virgin. Wow. Of a virgin. Wow. They say Jesus is coming again and is going to defeat the devil and the Antichrist. That's in the Quran. Now, I know there are things in the Quran that I wouldn't agree with. It's certainly not a holy book. But it does not blaspheme the Holy Ghost. It does not say these horrible things about our Savior, our Lord Jesus. It does not authorize the cheating, the defrauding of Gentiles. It doesn't call Gentiles nothing more than cattle. It doesn't say it's okay to have sex with a dead corpse. I think even Muslims would just, ugh. Now, what should you do about the Talmud? Should it be burned? I say no. You know what I say? Read it. Study it. Tell others about it. Tell the truth about the Talmud. Did you know that in the Talmud it says that a Gentile who reads the Talmud, who studies it, deserves to be killed? You'll be killed, the Jews say, if you read it. They don't want you to read it. The Pope, the papacy, back before the Reformation, didn't want you to read the Bible. But that was because they wanted to control everything. But the Jews don't want you to read the Talmud. And here's why. They don't want you to know how evil it is. They want to do evil behind your back. They want to do evil in dark rooms. They want to continue their magic, their sorcery, without the world knowing about it. I say, don't burn the Talmud. I say, study it. Find out about it. Expose it. This is Tex Mars. Been so great. Privileged being with you today. It's an honor serving God and serving you. And my fervent prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.